May it please the Court, Mr. Chief Justice, Justices, good morning. Paul Wallace on behalf of the state, in this case, the appellant, in this certified question matter. Last year, the Court, in a exhaustive explanation of constructive possession, decided the case of Lacates. And in Lacates, the Court went through how we had gotten to the definition or what the definition of constructive possession might be when we are dealing with possession of a deadly weapon by a person prohibited. Thereafter, or maybe while that case was pending, Mr. Clayton was arrested for possession of a deadly weapon by a person prohibited, or possession of a firearm, actually, by a person prohibited. And the judge in Sussex County had determined that it was difficult for him to try to decide exactly how to work into an instruction the elements that the court had laid forth. Particularly, the question was regarding intent to guide the destiny of a firearm. Interestingly, after the briefing, it appears that both sides in this certified question matter agree that that language can be problematic, and particularly in factual circumstances such as this, because it leaves to the mind of the juror that, in fact, there has to be something more, that there has to be some intent to specifically perhaps do something with the weapon other than the possessory aspect that need be proved.
Can you help me understand procedurally the drafting of the certified question? Was that done by Judge Graves, or did the state and the defense have input into the specific question we've been asked to decide?
I believe that the state and defense did, Your Honor. I can't tell you with 100% certainty. I did talk to the prosecutor. I believe that the state and defense both had some input, but the final question, in fact, I'm relatively sure that they did, because I do recall speaking to the prosecutor about it beforehand. I think that they gave ideas to Judge Graves, but I think the final question was Judge Graves.
Can the question be answered without reaching the issues that have been raised about this additional language from the Third Circuit that the defense has proposed and your objection to that? I mean, is that subsumed within that question, or is that a collateral issue?
I believe it can. I believe perhaps the most simple answer would be intent to guide the destiny need not always be included, or should not be included specifically in the instruction in this case under the factual circumstances, but instead that intent to exercise dominion or control, or exercise to intent to exercise control, is really the proper language. I believe that the court could answer that question without resolving whether or not the additional language that comes from, I believe it was Prado, was at least one form of it. In the purest view of what Rule 41 anticipates, that perhaps that's all need be answered. But I would suggest that given the opportunity to clarify this, which is what I believe the Superior Court is really asking for, how do we properly instruct a jury when we have this situation? Is this language helpful or necessary? I think both sides felt that we needed to give the court at least our suggestions as to what would be the proper language and the necessary language.
Well, Mr. Wallace, it does appear that what's before us now is a controversy over how to draft an instruction. Justice Ridgely asked properly, do we need to get into into that controversy? I gather your answer is, well, maybe not, but it would be nice. But if we do have to get into it, I'm not sure. I personally have difficulty grasping the nuances of the two battling sets of instructions. What's going on here? What's the issue that we would have to decide precisely?
I believe both sides generally agree on what the elements of possession of a firearm by a person prohibited would be, and that is knowledge of either the location, existence, presence of the weapon. the ability to exercise control over it, and then lastly, the intent to exercise control or dominion over it. The question then becomes in that last element, and that last element is where the language intent to guide the destiny would be substituted for that.
Well, as I understand it, your instruction and the instruction by the defense, putting aside the word firearm, are the same, except for the paragraph that the defense wants to add on page 11 of the answering brief.
Yes.
Is that correct?
In all respects, there is one other difference, and that is theirs indicates knowledge that, but knows the location of it, where the state just says knowingly. The problem the state has with saying knowing the location of it is, for instance, in constructive possession, when you say that you may do it through another person, let's say myself and co-counsel, I am the person prohibited, I buy the gun, I give it to her and say, you hold it for me. And as soon as I want it, you give it back to me. You'll keep it in our house. I may not know the specific location. I know of its existence, I know of its presence, and I have the ability to exercise dominion or control over it through another person, just as constructive possession allows, and the intent to do it, because I have told her. I want it. When I need it, I want it. So that is one slight difference, and then the paragraph.
Excuse me. I may be going over the same ground that Justice Holland did, but there are two dueling sets of instruction, different language. That difference has to be captured in the form of an issue for us to decide, for us to know and then to decide what's at stake here. And I still haven't heard at least clearly enough what the precise issue is that we would have to decide.
The precise issue is whether or not a jury should be told that the specific element is an intent to guide the destiny, or whether it is an intent to exercise control, and if it is the latter, what wording do you use to describe that?
Well, we were already in the second part of that. That is, I thought that both sides agreed that intent to guide the destiny may be a specific case, but it's not an element.
Yes.
And so then the question becomes, what is it that the jury should be, how is it that the jury should be instructed? Again,
yes.
We have two different sets of instructions, and I'm not sure what the difference is or how to express the difference in a way that will have an issue framed before us.
I'd suggest that the issue to be framed then, Your Honor, is that in describing the intent to exercise dominion and control, do you leave it simply at that language, or do you add the additional language that the defense requests, which includes things like that the state must prove the existence by some action, some word, some conduct. The issue, as the state suggests, is for the very reason that I think both sides agree that intent to guide the destiny should be excluded, this language should not be included either. Intent to guide the destiny is just one form of proving one's intent to exercise dominion and control.
Well, why don't
and these are others.
Relate the debate to the facts in this case so we can understand the confusion that we're dealing with or we're not dealing with. As I understand the facts here, the defendant said, get me Grandma's gun. And the gun was in the bedroom. And when the police arrived, the gun was located in the Grandma's bedroom in a drawer. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So knowing that this defendant said, get me Grandma's gun, what are the elements of the offense? What's the confusion we need to resolve?
Well, in the facts of this case, obviously the first two elements, knowledge of its presence is there. The ability to exercise control through another person is obviously there, says go get it. And my understanding is there's evidence in the case that he actually had control of the gun for a period of time and then it went back to where it was being stored. And in fact, there were two guns stored there. And then the last question is whether or not he had at a given time the intent to exercise control over that gun. The question becomes, how do we describe to the jury, or how do we define to the jury that last element? Is it sufficient to leave it as intent to exercise control, or do we have to tell them how the state must prove that? what factors it must prove. And the state's specific suggestion, and it goes to this case, is it may hit one of those. The evidence may hit it. By word, he showed the intent to exercise control. But he didn't by conduct. He didn't by showing he indicated some other stake in it. What the state suggests is that when you put those laundry lists in.
Let me interrupt you there just for a moment, and let's parse the facts, and we can call it a hypothetical. You said there may be an indication he had the gun at one time, and then the gun went back to the drawer. If the state can prove he had the gun, the state's got a pretty solid case.
Yes.
All right, let's suppose he never gets the gun. He said, get me Grandma's gun. No one ever retrieves the gun and hands it to him. Can he be convicted of this crime?
If the jury finds that he has sufficient ability to exercise the control, unfortunately there are some facts missing that we don't know as far as he calls it Grandma's gun. Is it truly his gun? Is it he calls it that because it's in Grandma's drawer? The suggestion is that, in fact, he was storing the gun there and told someone to get it, in which case, yes. Even if he never took control of it, he had knowledge. He's a person prohibited. He is absolutely prohibited from having firearms. There's no question about that. He has knowledge of its location, its presence, its existence. He has the ability to exercise the control, albeit either himself or, in this case, he exercises it or attempts to exercise it through another person.
So,
and he has that intent.
So you're saying if you're a person prohibited and you are in a house where you know another legal occupant of the house has a gun in their room, if you remain in the house, you're guilty of violating the statute?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
And the reason is that last element. The state must prove, and when I can tell the court that while we were careful in trying to parse out the language of this and trying to look at the how other jurisdictions handled it, that's why we have that last element of intent to exercise control. We do not want to make, let's say it is actually Grandma's gun. She should not become a de facto person prohibited, meaning she has to get rid of her guns because she has a person prohibited living with her. He may have the knowledge. He may even have the ability to go into her room and get it. But until he shows the intent at a given time to exercise control, he is not in violation of this statute. And we believe that's an important part of this, and it's an important protection. We absolutely agree that that should be an element, and that's why it's in there, and we take some time to discuss it.
Is it fair or unfair to say that the Superior Court, which has a pattern in jury instruction, has not asked us through this certified question process to draft an instruction in this case?
I think that's fair. That was not the question specifically suggest or specifically posed to the court. The specific question was, does this language need to be in an instruction to the jury? In answering that question, I think both sides felt it necessary to say, well, if it isn't, then we need to give the court something to say, here's what does need to be there, or here's what is appropriate. Otherwise, we send it back simply saying no, and the Superior Court is probably in no better position then of trying to understand it.
But I thought part of the problem that both of you were addressing here is the idea that there may be a set of factual circumstances where intent to guide the destiny is appropriate language to put in a jury instruction, but that in other circumstances it's not. So why should we attempt to formulate a jury instruction when that seems to be contrary to the notion that you look at the facts of your case and the attorneys with the judge come up with an instruction that takes into account what the facts of your case are and comes up with an appropriate instruction that includes some statement about intent that makes sense for what those facts are. So what I'm getting at is you seem to want us to come back with the perfect instruction, and yet and I realize that the Superior Court has form instructions and all, but isn't there a real risk that by doing that we then leave the Superior Court judges of a mind to, you know, this is what the Supreme Court told us to say, we're going to say it every time, even if it doesn't necessarily make that much sense in this case, and so on?
Your Honor, first of all, if I was unclear in the state's position, we don't believe intent to guide the destiny is ever appropriate to describe the element. Intent to guide the destiny is one form of evidence. It may be that, and that intent to guide the destiny may be proven, for instance, it may show up in the evidence as in, you know, the guy is a person prohibited and has a warehouse full of guns, and he intends to sell them just like he would sell other contraband like drugs. We suggest that that's never appropriate in this instruction because it's confusing. It may be less confusing under certain circumstances. For instance, in LaCase, it certainly would have been less confusing because it was clear that he had an intent to, quote, guide the destiny, and that would have been an okay description of his actual acts and the evidence because he lied to the police officers. He wanted to keep control of it. He wanted to ensure that it left with him or that he wasn't held responsible for it. The state's suggestion is that whenever we put in to a jury instruction, when we take out of cases, forms of evidence that prove an element, instead of the element itself, that lends to confusion. And that's why the state suggests intent to guide the destiny is not an appropriate description of the element, and we would never suggest that it would be. There are times when it may be harmless, but it's never necessary.
Well, if we look at the question that was certified, what would your answer to the question be? The question seems to be, do we need to use this phrase in every instruction, or does LaCase hold that it's one way of explaining the defendant's intention, but there may be others? Well, why can't we just say that, you know, it's a way to explain it, but it's not the only way?
I believe that's the absolute right answer. But in coming to that answer, I know what the next question is. Well, then what do we say are the elements? Because in LaCase, the court said, these are the elements, and the last element is intended to guide the destiny. So right now, the court believes, just as Justice Berger just mentioned, this is what the Supreme Court says, and I better draft my instruction this way. We believed, at least the state believed, in drafting its brief to try to suggest what the proper answer is, and I do believe it's exactly what Your Honor just said, and that is, no, it's not necessary in every case. Yes, in fact, what it is a way of describing someone's activity that might prove that last element. But that last element is the intent to control, not the intent to do anything
else.
Well,
if you have any intention at all that relates to the gun, how can the intention not include guiding the destiny?
I think the problem is guiding the destiny. There is no definition of what guiding the destiny is, and I think that the problem with it is it leads people to believe there's something more.
Well, your focus is on the word intention, and that's what I'm trying to confirm. You really say that at the end of the day, we have to connect the defendant and the gun through the defendant's intention.
Yes.
And that's in your instruction. Now, in LaCase, we use the word guide the destiny, but it seems to be a way to describe if the defendant had any intention at all relating to the gun, it has to be characterized as guiding its destiny. Now, that doesn't mean it has to be in the instruction, but don't you agree that what we're trying to focus on is a way to craft an instruction that connects the defendant, the gun, and the defendant's intention?
Yes. I think the guiding the destiny phrase is just the one that, for lack of a better term, and maybe it's a bad one here, is loaded in a certain way because it seems to suggest more. Guiding the destiny seems to suggest he's actually going to do something with it. He's actually going to commit a crime or do something or sell it or dispose of it, as opposed to what this crime is all about, and that is possession, controlling, owning. That enough is the criminal act under possession of a deadly weapon by a person prohibited. And that's why the state suggests that removing guiding the destiny and putting in intent to exercise control is the safer option and perhaps better understood. All of those things may be proved either by the fact that they were going to, quote, guide the destiny, or they had some word or action. That the problem is that importing in language from judicial decisions that try to describe the type of evidence, you always run the risk of being too limited and limiting what the jury may view. And I think run the risk of exactly what Justice Berger spoke about, and that is, I don't want to step away from what the Supreme Court says. And if that's a possible danger, then leaving it more general is better.
Just stay in touch with what's actually going on in the Superior Court in this area. What is being these are cases that are going to trial on a regular basis, aren't they? And what is being instructed now?
I believe that there is my understanding is that it's a somewhat modified Lacate's instruction or a White type instruction or Thomas, which was also at least given approval. The language was given approval through Lacate's. All of which I think the court feels comfortable with. Thomas doesn't have the intent to guide the destiny, but does talk about ability and power, which take into consideration those other factors. What we attempted to do was, in this case, when we were trying to answer the question, we were trying to be as helpful as we could and as full as we could in setting forth what we understood the both this jurisdiction's case law and case law from other jurisdictions that have had to deal with the issue, and give at least some help.
Can you articulate for me the precise difference between the phrase intent to control and intention to guide the destiny?
I think that's exactly the problem, Your Honor. I think reasonable minds can differ that guide the destiny seems to mean something more and is less understandable or graspable probably to the average juror than control. Certainly guiding the destiny is some maybe a subset of control, for lack of a better term. But obviously when you control something, you do guide its destiny, whether it be short-term or long-term. I think the problem may be that people find that phrase a little bit less easy to grasp when you're talking about a jury instruction for...
It's clear this trial judge doesn't like it and doesn't want to incorporate it in a charge, but I'm trying to get a real sense of what the genuine distinction is between what you believe is the correct instruction, other than you want the instruction that's easier to find guilt than a more difficult instruction. That I can appreciate. And it's clear to me the trial judge doesn't like this, but can you tell me the difference between a certified question and a request for an advisory opinion, particularly here where it's very difficult for me to understand on these facts, if you can, by way of example, prove that the defendant said, get me grandma's gun, how any rational person under any definition of intention to control or intention to guide the destiny isn't going to find him guilty if you establish that he made that comment. Now, what is there about this case that makes this language difficult, given the facts?
I don't know. I think my only understanding of it is that the trial judge and I think the attorneys look at it and say, if we give this guy the destiny instruction, the jury is going to ask us what that means. And that is a very difficult thing perhaps to explain to the common juror, whereas many more people will understand the word control.
Okay, and if the answer to their question was, the state has to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant intended to control the weapon as a means of explaining what the language guide the destiny of the weapon meant. And the facts are, he said, get me grandma's gun. How could they come to any other conclusion?
I don't
understand the quandary.
I don't believe they could, but I think that when we look at the history of intent to guide the destiny, it seems to have, because of where it came from, drug possession cases originally in Curry, it seemed to have some greater meaning than control. It seemed to have a more limited meaning.
But parsing these two phrases, intent to control or intention to guide the destiny, really has no effect on this case.
No.
One last question. Your problem, as I understand it, is not this case, but other cases. And if I understand correctly what you're trying to communicate, it's that the phrase intent to exercise dominion and control is precisely the mind state that the statute is trying to capture. But when you use language such as intent to guide the destiny, you're incorporating a metaphor that may go beyond the mindset that would be specific to this case.
Yes.
Such as, for example, selling the gun or using it to go hunting in the future or something like that.
Exactly.
Thank you.
If there are no further questions, thank you.
I should, in fairness, point out that we asked you so many questions that we used up your rebuttal time.
I noticed that, but I may not be coming back.
Okay.
Well, actually, unless Your Honor says so, I'm not coming back.
I think your bet is safe. You may not be coming back.
May it please the Court, Nicole Walker on behalf of Randolph Clayton. I'm going to set aside my original prepared remarks and just cut to the chase here. Chief Justice Steele and Justice Jacobs are correct. In this case, the facts, if the jury believes them, it does not matter what the language is in this case. The question was certified already when I took the case. I honestly think that neither counsel below provided the court with sufficient research to reach this conclusion themselves. However, that being said, what I believe the issue is here is the generic issue, is the intent to guide the destiny. That is a correct statement of the law. And what Mr. Clayton is saying is there are definitions of that. It is exercise. It's stated many different ways in many different courts. It's exercise, dominion, or control over the weapon. It's also defined as a nexus. So from Mr. Clayton's point of view and his proposed instruction, it would be to simplify it for the jury. That's all we want, and that it be a nexus. And if this court, for a certified question, wants to address the issue for further cases, it may do so. However, with respect to this case, if the state wants to use the term exercise dominion or control and the jury believes the facts in this case, there is sufficient evidence for the jury to consider, because it all talks about circumstances, every definition in all the cases.
In this particular case, on page 17 of the state's brief, it quotes what purports to be the current instruction, you know, the standard instruction, and it says there, had both the power and intention at a given time to exercise control over the deadly weapon either directly or through another person.
Correct.
Yeah. Is that consistent with what we said in Lacate? Is there anything wrong? Could you make an argument after the case that that's an incorrect statement of the law?
No.
So isn't that another way to answer the question? What the Superior Court seems to be saying is what we held in Lacate is you have to have the jury make a determination about controlling the destiny, but the focus is on intention and control.
Right.
And destiny's not a magic word.
Correct.
So if we stayed with the instruction exactly the way it is now, and we say destiny's not a magic word,
right,
everything's fine.
I agree. And what I think the proper thing would be is for the counsel to argue, of course, we believe our language is better for purposes of this case. And I believe that defense counsel should make this argument for this case, or going forward it should be a consideration depending on the facts of other cases as to whether the word nexus is more clear for the jury. And I think that's the bottom line is we agree on everything except the actual language, which, not trying to be derogatory, but is like a semantics argument. And the argument is, what's the best way to communicate to the jury this concept, which is the correct statement of the law?
Well, the devil is always in the details, Ms. Walker. And, you know, Mr. Wallace is arguing that, you know, to use a metaphor that, in effect, it may be appropriate when we're talking about animate objects, people, animals, or whatever. That's one thing. But it's very different when we're talking about a gun. Do you think that the putting in the legalese nexus is going to be any clearer to the jury than the use of the metaphor?
Well, perhaps the word link, some kind of connection or link between the defendant and the weapon.
I mean, I know lawyers that have difficulty understanding what nexus means. You know, how would a jury have a better grasp of it?
Well, I think a more common word would be link or connection. And the reason counsel proposed the definition in this case is to give the jury some kind of explanation as to what and how that can be proved. A good illustration of what's going on here could actually be seen in United States versus Bryant. In that case, the trial court gave the instruction that is more akin to what the state wants here, and the jury had a question about that. It was unclear to them. So defense counsel, the United States, and the court sat down to come up with supplemental jury instructions. The defense wanted the words appreciable ability to guide the destiny. And the United States wanted the words that we've proposed, which is the plus factor, some other conduct, some link. And so the court, to resolve the issue, gave all the instructions. And at the circuit court level, the court said, that's fine, because there's an explanation as to what the connection could be.
Well, I'm still trying to understand where we are in this certified question. And I realize the state and the defense agree. Let's assume Lacates was correctly decided and is an accurate statement of the law. Now, if that's the law, the question is, how do you give a proper jury instruction? As I understand the certified question is, whenever we instruct the jury in accordance with the law, we always have to use the phrase intention to guide the gun's destiny? Or can we convey that accurate legal concept with other words? And Mr. Wallace agrees that the answer to the question should be, you don't need to use that exact phrase as long as you convey an accurate statement of the law. I think in response to one of my earlier questions, you said the current instruction, without the proposed modifications by you or Mr. Wallace, is an accurate statement of the law. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so then at least I understand where we are.
Yeah, I think it is, and I think all the proposed, I think the problem is, if you look at every single case that the state has cited, every single case Mr. Clayton has cited, they say the same thing. It's just different interpretations as to what language should be used. And I believe that in this case, our request would be for clearer language for the jury, but that's a request, I believe, that could be handled.
But the question from the Superior Court seems to boil down to a concern that if I don't instruct the jury with these magic words, I'm going to get reversed, citing Lacates. And so the real question is, are these magic words, or do they? Is it a legal holding? And you can convey the law without saying the exact words. We're basically being asked to increase the comfort level of the Superior Court on whether they need these exact words or not. Is that what it boils down to?
Yes, Your Honor. I think that the precise question was whether intent to guide the destiny is one way of showing intent to exercise dominion or control. And our argument would be, no, it means intent to exercise dominion or control. And the court could, if it feels more comfortable doing so, use different language. And that would be a question that unfortunately for the Superior Court, or fortunately, would have to be reviewed on appeal. Unless there are any other questions. Thank you.
Well, Ms. Walker's left 16 minutes. Do you want any? Would you like any portion of that 16 minutes within your five for rebuttal?
Not all of them.
No, Justice Holland just, in a cautionary way, made sure that I wasn't offering you all 16 minutes.
If I might just address one.
Sure.
One.
I take it you don't object, Ms. Walker.
Justice Holland, I just wanted to address the question regarding the standard instruction that's used now by the court. There's only one concern that the state has with that, and that is the proximity language in it, which talks about that is means on his person, in his vehicle, or something like that. and unfortunately, while it doesn't go directly to the question asked, because the court asked whether that would be fine, I do think that there is some concern with that specific language.
Going back to our question and whether it really includes a request for us to craft the perfect instruction, the concern you just raised is something that the trial prosecutor could say to the court.
Yes.
You know,
absolutely.
You heard what I said to Ms. Walker, and am I correct that Legates is an accurate statement of the law? The question is, how do we convey the law in an instruction? And the question appears to be, do we have to use the phrase control the destiny, or can we convey the law with other terminology, such as the language at the end of the pattern instruction, not the beginning?
And I believe the court had it precisely right. Those are guide the destiny is no magic phrase. It need not be there. But I do think that there was a discomfort level after Legates,
right,
because it was explained as an element.
Then we all agree on why we're here.
Took us a long time to get there. Yeah. thank you very much for the extra.
Okay. Thank you, counsel. We'll take the case under advisement and recess.